today we're going to look at our second week of Thanksgiving study. And last week we spoke about Thanksgiving and grace. We've all got so much to be thankful for, and we said Thanksgiving should not be, and I'm going to be thankful if I can ever get this plugged in my belt. So we said Thanksgiving should not be just a one-day deep Thanksgiving, November 25th, I believe. That should not be the case where that's the only thing that we're, the only day that we do it for a few hours. It should be week-long, it should be month-long, it should be year-long. And we spoke about how it's God's will for Thanksgiving to be a part of our lives, so a big part of our lives. He desires our Thanksgiving and the blessings that we have, especially spiritual blessings, are based on the thanks that we give to Him. We give thanks, He blesses. We give thanks for that, He blesses. It's cyclical. It's like a wheel that keeps turning. One feeds off the other. Thanksgiving is very important. The good things that happen in our lives are just not happenstance. Okay? The good and the bad. Nothing just happens. Well, the Lord's been good to me. Thank you, Lord. That's it. There's a reason. There's a reason for God's grace. Okay? So, and Thanksgiving is the thing that inspires that. It's the thing that feeds it. It's the thing that drives it. It's the thing that empowers it. So, we said last week, thankfulness is an emotion of being grateful, appreciative, and happy about a benefit received. But emotion is fleeting. It is temporary. It's a temporary feeling you get when something good happens to you. Gratitude is a deeper, more enduring state of being or attitude. So we talked about gratitude to the Lord, our thanksgiving, not feelings, but the way we give thanksgiving should be gratitude more than thanks. It's the good and the bad. The gratitude is how we really, really feel inside, and we're going to keep that. It's just not something that goes away. It's not something that goes away when things don't go our way. It's long-lasting, and it exists regardless of circumstances. So Thanksgiving should be practiced 365 days a year as a spirit of gratitude. Okay? Now, a couple things I just want to go over briefly and just for 30 seconds. Okay? We said a couple of things, a couple of high notes here. Thanksgiving is God's will for us. That's God's will for us as believers. We also said thanks is the receipt and response for grace received. We have received God's grace. He keeps giving grace. And thanks is the receipt of that and our response for that. The scripture speaks of how, like we said, blessings and thanks being cyclical. God's will is to bless us, so it will lead us to thanksgiving, which will lead to more blessings. We remember we said in Paul's writings, he was taking for granted, even to the Corinthian church, which was the most carnal church that he witnessed it to and that he built. But he took for granted that when God blessed them, they were giving thanks. He didn't question it. Okay, he assumed that was the case. That's the way it should all be. It should be just a given. It should be like breathing or walking or riding a bicycle or anything else. It ought to be natural, okay, that when we're giving thanks no matter what. But when God blesses us, we are really giving thanks, okay? Our spirit of praise will lead to believers and unbelievers alike taking note. When we live in a spirit of thanksgiving, just the way we live our lives, people will notice, okay? It's noticeable when somebody bows their head and gives thanks before they eat. If you're in a restaurant or you're at work or you're at school or whatever, people see that and they notice it. Just people will see and gravitate to when they see thanks in your life, because thanks is a pleasant thing. Thanks is a joyous thing. And people will notice that, and they're not going to be turned off by it. I think most people, that's going to be an appeal. Okay? Now, so here's where we're going to start today. How to be thankful. Okay? Okay, two more things we said last week. How to be thankful. Be thankful to God first, and then thank God for our gifts. We're thanking God and only God. Now, if somebody does something good for you, and you have a blessing from it, you thank them, you have gratitude to other people, but we're always thanking God first. And any gift, any good thing, like we said, all good things come from the Lord. We're giving thanks for it, okay? Now, we'll start here. Now that we've done that, what are the results of Thanksgiving? So we're going to look at the results. We're being blessed. God's blessing us. We're giving thanks. We've got gratitude. We're giving thanks for the good and the bad. So what are the results of that? That's where we're going to go today. Okay, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The results of Thanksgiving. The first thing is going to be grace received with the right heart results in generous gratitude. Okay? Grace received with the right heart results in generous gratitude. So 2 Corinthians 4:15. There's going to be some of these scriptures that are repeat from last week, because they mean so many different things, okay? But several of them are going to be new. So 2 Corinthians 4:15, okay? For all things are for your sakes, so that grace, having spread to more and more people, will cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Now, this is what we were talking about. Paul is taking... For granted here that because God's grace is given, that the response is going to be gratitude. Okay? Generous gratitude. When we receive it with the right heart, that's what we have. So that tells me too, we can receive it the wrong way. We can receive good things the wrong way. We're going to talk about that later. It could lead to pride. Look what I've done when good things happen. I'm responsible for this. I did this by myself. I didn't need help from anybody else, from God or anything. It's me, me, me. Okay? That's the wrong way. And Paul is saying, I don't believe, because you are Christians, I don't believe any of you are doing this. Okay? I believe that you are giving thanks in the right way, because the more and more grace you get, it causes thanksgiving to overflow. Okay? So the more grace we get, the more thankful we are. And as Christians, that's the way it should be. Remember this, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 from last week said, thanksgiving in our hearts is the will of God for us. And if you took one verse from Thanksgiving, what the Bible says about it, that would be it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Thanksgiving in our hearts is the will of God. That's why God's grace, He loves us, yes. But God's will for us in giving grace is to get thanks from us to Him. That's His will. That's what it's all about. He loves it. Okay? He loves it. So that's what He wants from us. Now, thanksgiving also produces works. So turn to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Now, so we know works doesn't save us, but we are saved to do good works, right? That's kind of the proof of how we're living this Christian lives, that we have been saved, that we do good works in the Lord's name to others, okay? And thanksgiving produces that. You say, okay, I need to be better at this. How can I be better at this? I'm a Christian. How can my works be better? How can I have works that please the Lord? Be thankful. If you're thankful, it's going to help you do this. I can just tell, I've really tried this week to thank you, Lord, all the time. Just thank you during the day. Take the time, thank you. And you'll feel a difference. You will feel different if you do that. You've just got a different attitude about things. You're in a better mood. I just don't think you can be thankful and have a bad outlook. I just don't think they mix. I don't think you can. So 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as words of mere men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is also at work in you who believe. So Paul is thankful. That's one of the first things that he gives thanks for, is that when you believe the word, you become a believer, you believe the word of God, that word is at work in you. It goes to work. Okay? Paul's thankful for that. The more we're thankful, the more it goes to work in us. Okay? So if you look at Paul's, all his letters, can't get this on, all his letters in the first few verses of all the books, epistles that he writes to these churches, he's constantly giving thanks. I'm here that you're a wealthy church. I hear that everybody's doing good at their jobs. I hear that everybody's financially secure. I hear that you guys are dressing really nice when you go to church, or you've got this ministry or that ministry. No, he's thankful that the word is working in them, in their spiritual gifts. When we're thankful for that, that's when the works show. That's when God is really able to work through us. Because remember what we said, when we're thankful, it generates more spiritual blessings. We're thankful for that, then more. Thankful for that, then more. So it goes to work in us. Okay? Turn to Colossians 2. Colossians 2. Remember, thanksgiving produces work. Works, sorry, plural. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. Thanksgiving produces works. What's the opposite of that? Doom and gloom. I'm in a bad mood. I'm pouting all the time. I'm never grateful. I got a bad attitude. I got an ill attitude. So I'm just going to sit around and do nothing. You want to sit around and do nothing? That's what a bad attitude produces. Okay? So, a great attitude, thanksgiving, is going to produce the right kind of walk for us. So, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So, we've received the Lord, we're believers, we become Christians. The first thing, walk in Him, okay? Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established. So we walk in Him, so we're becoming more and more established. We're growing, we're rooted in Him. So it's established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. So as we walk with the Lord, and we become more rooted in Him and more rooted in His Word, we are overflowing with gratitude for that. Okay? And that's producing works, because God's will, when we walk with Him, is to produce works. So they're going hand in hand. Thanksgiving is producing works. Now, that will lead to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If we put 1 Thessalonians 2:13 and Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7 to work, it will lead to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. Thanksgiving produces works. This is what it will lead to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us. Okay? Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all so that those who live no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose on their behalf. Okay? So, when I am saved and I begin to walk in the Lord and I get grounded and I'm constantly giving thanks, it says that I am overflowing with gratitude. That's what it says in Colossians. Then I'm living not for me, but I'm living for the Lord. Okay? I'm living, it says, for that individual who controls me. I've died to that old man that we were just talking about a couple of weeks ago, and now I'm living in the new man. One leads to the other. 2 Corinthians 5, okay? When Christ died, and Christ died for me, and I accepted that in his resurrection, then I died. My old man died because of his death. And the new man rose because of his resurrection. And because of that, I live for him. Thanksgiving leads to that. I live for him, and now I'm producing good works. And I'm thankful. And the more I'm thankful, the good works keep coming from me. Okay? Through the Lord. Nothing that I've done, through the Lord. Okay? It's all done through the Lord. So one leads to another. I hear this all the time here. People say, I don't live for Christ because I have to. I live for Christ because I want to. I hear people here say all the time that the Lord's been good, so good to me and loves me so much. I want to do things for him. I want to help others for him. I want to live a Christian life for him. I want to do those things because of my thankfulness and my love for him. I heard it 1,000 times from people in this church. This is the biblical proof of it. We want to do things for him not out of obligation, but out of thanksgiving. So what's Thanksgiving when you think about it? It's not only on the 25th of this month. It's us saying, Lord, I'm thankful, so thankful that I want to live for you because I love you, not because I have to. That's Thanksgiving. That's Thanksgiving in a nutshell. And like we said, that horizontal grace, as Charlie's talked about before, makes us want to do for others. Turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. Thankfulness. Colossians chapter 3, 15 through 17. Okay. Let the peace of Christ, to whom you were indeed called in one body, rule in your hearts, and be thankful. So there's the first time it's used. So the peace of Christ rules in my heart, and I'm thankful for that. Okay? I am thankful that I have peace in Christ. Okay? Now, I know a lot of times we have outward circumstances that we cannot help. It might be sickness. It might be different things. You never know. I mean, Jeff Coon told me before he had heart surgery, he said, brother, he said, life can come at you in a hurry. Had no idea he was going to have those bypass. And we can't help that. We're in a fallen world. Those things are going to happen. But we have peace. And I felt that with you, Jim. Michael, I felt that. Well, you guys, as bad as everything was going on and all this, man, it was just going crazy. You couldn't get answers. You didn't know. But you had God to hang on to. There was a peace. And I could tell by the way you talked and what you were telling me. Okay? So the peace that I have through God rules in my hearts. And I'm thankful for that. I have a peace that the world doesn't have. I've got a peace that I didn't have before I was a Christian. We all do. I think everybody in here, I don't need to explain it. We all do. I don't know if I can explain it, but we've all got it. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, within all teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. There's another thankful in our worship. When we sing, when we pray, when we speak to others, when we witness to others, when we're with our brothers and sisters here, okay, we're thankful to the Lord in just our conversation. It's obvious, okay? So Paul's saying not only are we thankful for peace, we're thankful in our worship, okay? Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Paul says, whatever you do in word or deed, it needs to be done in thankfulness to Jesus, to God. It needs to be done in thankfulness. Everything, word or deed. Now, that's a lot. So everything that I do in my life needs to be in mind a thanksgiving to the Lord. That's the way I need to live it. Okay? Like I said, that gives you a lot to do self-introspection about. Okay? To reflect. Okay? Because I know this. Let me still tell you, what are you griping about now? What are you griping about now? We were yesterday, we went to the wedding in Birmingham. And I said a couple of months ago when we got an invitation, yeah, I'm going to go. Absolutely. Keaton Kelly got married. And Keaton played ball for me. I've known the family forever. Just love them. Absolutely. I'll go. But I got to thinking, I had not been out. Now, I'm not talking about Wayne County. I'm talking about the city limits of Waynesboro. I had not been out of the city limits of Waynesboro in a month. Molly actually calls me the hermit. Okay? And I've got where I enjoy staying home. I never thought I'd get to that place, but I'm at it. I enjoy staying home. And the more and more I think about driving, you would have thought Birmingham would have been in Europe somewhere. Birmingham, England. Okay? And the more and more I thought about it, I said, God, I don't dread it. I dread it. And we all said once we got there, we were great. I just dreaded going to Birmingham, right? So yesterday morning, I'm griping about everything. Not to her, but I'm in the bedroom, and there was one time, Missy, you don't know this. My jacket fell off the hanger, and I really need to clean my bedroom floor. So when I get it up, it's got lint all over it, and I can't find the lint roller. And she's in the next room. She said, what are you griping about? I said, nothing, just talking to myself. Nothing. So that's not the spirit, and it's easy to do. But Paul says, in everything, give thanks. And it's easy to get in the mood when you may have something in your life that's not going your way. And that's just a small comparison. Everything was great. There's no reason for me to gripe, complain, but maybe something you dread, maybe something you're not looking forward to, maybe you've had a couple of bad breaks in a row, you've not had a good day at work. It's easy to do and not have that. But Paul says in all things, word or deed, give thanks, okay? This is Christian charity. Love that does good for the benefit of others. Okay? That's Christ. Christ got nothing out of going to a cross, of being nailed to a cross and tortured and suffering the way he did. Christ done everything for us with no benefit to himself. Okay? That's charity. We do for others, and we're not looking for a thank you or a pat on the back or everybody to tell us how great we are. That's Christian charity. Love can be selfish and blind. Love is not always a good thing. The Bible says, do not love the things of this world. Paul said Demas had abandoned him because Demas once was in the mission group in the ministerial group with Paul, Demas abandoned him, and Paul said he abandoned him because he was in love with the present world. Okay? Charity is being in love with Christ and doing things that benefit others because of that, not because we're in love with something else. We're in love with Christ. Okay? Now, thanks to God also means we joy in the things of God. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Thanks to God means we also joy in the things of God, that we love the things of God. If we're thankful to God, we love the things of God. First Thessalonians 3, verse 9. Okay? For what thanks can we give to God for you in return for all the joy in which we rejoice because of you before our God? You say, what's Paul saying there? Paul was saying, I rejoice because of the things that you are doing for God. I rejoice. I get joy out of that. Paul, like I said, wasn't saying I've got joy because you've all got good jobs. I've got joy because you all got a lot of money in the bank. I got joy because you built the nicest church in town. That's not what the joy that he has is. The joy is that they are doing the things of God. And Paul loved that. He was thankful because of it. He said, I give thanks. So thanks to God means we joy in the things of God. When somebody here in this church does something for the Lord, when they're growing in the faith, when they're closer to God, they have a better walk, I ought to be thankful to that. I ought to be thankful to God for that, okay? We talk about supporting each other. That's how we support each other, okay? Well, I'm thankful when things are going well for you spiritually. I'm thankful to the Lord for that. Paul had joy in their steadfastness, and he also had joy in God. Thanksgiving helps us to lead quiet and peaceful lives, like we said. Now turn to Romans 1. I'm sorry, Romans 1. Here's another proof of that. Okay, another example is the word I was looking for. Romans 1. So kind of the things he says to the church of Thessalonians, Thessalonica rather, he says to the church in Rome. So Romans 1, verse 8. Now, I would say read the whole thing through verse 16. I'm not going to read 16 verses. But if you get a chance, an opportunity, read his opening prayer there that goes all the way through verse 16. Okay? And you could see how Paul was praying for them and the things he was grateful for and the things that mattered to him. But I want to look at verse 8. Okay? The prayer actually starts in verse 8 and goes through 16. It's a 9-verse prayer for the Roman church. But in verse 8, he begins with thanks, since we're talking about thanks. Verse 8. First, I want to thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the world. Okay? Their faith was being proclaimed wherever the Lord was mentioned, wherever the Lord was working, they were talking about the faith that the church in Rome was showing. And Paul said he was thankful for that. That meant a lot to him. He joyed in the things of the Lord, and he gave thanksgiving for that. Paul doesn't treat God as a slot machine. What can I get out of you? He didn't treat God as Santa Claus. His goal is not to get his. Okay? Paul's priority was to thank God before anything else for things that didn't even involve him. Okay? Lord, I am thankful for this church and what they're doing. I'm thankful for their Christian walk. I'm thankful that their faith is so great that it's being mentioned all over the world. Lord, I thank you for that. Okay? Had nothing to do with what Paul was getting out of it. Okay? The word thank, four words, thank, thanks, thankful, and thanksgiving, okay, are used 131 times in the Bible. So it must be important. Okay, those four words 131 times. Paul uses those words 49 times, or 37% of the mentions in the Bible. Okay, the word thank is in the Bible 27 times. Paul uses it 13. Thanks with an S is in the Bible 73 times. Paul mentions it 24. Thanksgiving is in the Bible 28 times. Paul mentions it 8. Thankful is in the Bible 3 times from what I could find. And what I looked up, Paul used it all 3 times. Paul used thankfulness, the word thankfulness, once. So it was important enough to Paul that he would mention 49 times in his writings about the of thanks or the importance of thankfulness or thanksgiving. And it's all to the Lord. He was thanking the Lord every time, okay? Except there was some thankful there to the church of Philippi, who was taking care of him while he was in prison, okay? Now, Colossians 4:2, just write this down. You don't have to turn. Colossians 4:2. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. If I go to the Lord in prayer with any other attitude besides thanksgiving, I've abused opportunity. Even in a desperate situation, something bad's happened, an emergency's happened, I'm still, Lord, it's not, Lord, why'd you let this happen? It's, Lord, thank you for how good you've been to me. I don't understand, but I'm going to believe in you in this situation. I'm going to trust in you. I thank you for everything you've done to me. Because I'm going to tell you what, I could fall over right here and I've got more, I don't have anything to be gripe about. The Lord's been so good to me. He's given me so many blessings. If nothing good ever happened to me the rest of my life, I've got a lot more than I deserve. He's been, and we all have. I mean, how good has the Lord been to each and every one of us? Now, when we give thanks, we can do it in a good way and we can do it in a bad way. Okay, let's look at the good way. Turn to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. You say, we can give thanks in a bad way, we can do it. And I'm a perfect example that I'll be happy to share with you here in a minute. The bad thing is, when I talk, Missy listens. She takes in every word I say, so I get corrected a lot in my day-to-day life. Let's say positive reinforcement. But let's look at the good. Philippians 4, 6, 7. I've heard this said. I've heard Les Feldick say, this is the only promise that God gives us in the grace age, forever prayer that we pray. Because we cannot sit here and say for certain that every prayer that we pray is going to be answered exactly the way we want it to be answered. Okay? But when we pray, remember, we're praying. We've devoted ourselves to prayer. But every prayer is with an attitude of thanksgiving. When we do that, Paul says in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, do not be anxious about anything. Now that's tough. It's tough to be, even when we pray, it's tough not to be nervous, you know, in situations. When your husband's a back surgery, when Steve's having heart surgery, when we've got cancers and we've got kidney problems and we've got all these things health-wise, it's tough not to be. How are you not going to be anxious? It's hard. But do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and plea, here we go, pleading with thanksgiving, So we prayed with the attitude of thanksgiving. We're doing it the right way. Let your request be known. Lord, I'm thankful, first of all, before we go anywhere else. I'm just so thankful that you have whatever thing you've done for me. I'm just so thankful for all your grace and your mercy. I'm thankful for the cross. I'm thankful for the resurrection. I'm thankful for the gospel. Lord, I'm thankful that you saved me. I thank you that I'm going to heaven. Lord, I've got a situation in my life here. I'm praying for somebody here. Somebody's really sick. Somebody's in dire health here. There's an emergency. But we're to pray with an attitude of thanksgiving. Okay? Make those requests known to God. And here's what will happen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's God's promise to you. I will give you peace. Whatever you're praying for, well, thanksgiving. Sometimes it may be hard. Sometimes we do, and we are really trying, and we're just trying to fight through this. It's tough, and we're trying to fight through this. Well, imagine this. It may not always be perfect. And you say, you know, I've prayed, and I've been in a situation, and things bad have happened in my life, and I've not had the peace that I want to have. Imagine where your situation would be if you didn't have the Lord. So let's say something happened to you and you didn't have God in your life. Where would you be at? I heard somebody say one time, a relative of mine, he said, I just could not, he was talking about atheists. He said, I just could not imagine trying to get through life and not have any belief in God. Couldn't imagine. So, like I said, it's easy. So are you saying, if I'm anxious and I pray and I have thanksgiving and I'm anxious, am I doing wrong? No, we need to trust the Lord. And sometimes, like I said, it's not easy. But once again, think of where you would be at if you didn't have God in these situations. So that's the peace that we have the Lord. Okay? Prayers and requests are joined with thanks. These constructions concern the inner man. They have nothing to do with the flesh. So if you look at Paul's prayers, they're nothing to do with the flesh. It's not give me this, give me that, give me this car, give me $1 million, give me all that. Paul is constantly praying for the spiritual part, for the inner man. Okay? These things have nothing to do with, well, if I pray, I'm going to get good luck. If I pray, something good will happen to me. Right? Has nothing to do with that. Paul's praying for the inner man. Peace is the one promise made for prayers in the grace age. Remember this. Prayer is never wasted. Prayer is never wasted. It is an exercise of faith toward God. Every time I pray, I am exercising my faith toward God. It's never wasted. It's never like, boy, that's a couple minutes of my life I'll never get back. It's not like it doesn't get to the ceiling. I'm praying to a wall or something. It's not that. God hears and God loves your prayers. God wants your prayers. God covets your prayers. And it builds your faith according to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Okay? It is never a wasted opportunity. There's also the bad way to give thanksgiving. Or the bad, okay? You say, where's the bad way? I'm going to give you an example. Last night, we're coming back from Birmingham. Okay? I want to stop at Bucky's. So, we stop in Athens, and we go in Bucky's. It wasn't bad on Saturday night. There was only 700, 800 people in there. It wasn't bad as it usually is. So, we stop in Bucky's. And we get out, and actually, I couldn't believe how... Now, I did have to circle around the parking lot once to figure out how to get out of there. But the traffic wasn't too bad to get out. So we're getting ready to pull out, and evidently, whoever's in front of me never driven a car before. So we wait and wait, and look, and there's nothing coming, and he's just sitting there, and he's sitting there, and he's sitting there. And I've already tried to maneuver my way through the parking lot, and I'm like, would you go on? And Missy's like, David, don't... He goes on. So then we take a left, we go down to the red light, and it turns green, and he sits there, and he sits there, and he sits there. Well, nothing coming, and I'm getting ready to do this, and she said, David, remember, be thankful. So he finally turns and takes a left about 2 miles an hour, and I don't know what he's doing, and he U-turns right there in the road. He even parks on the other side. And she says, David, be thankful. Don't get mad. Be thankful. And I said, Missy, I am thankful. I am thankful that idiot is not on the road anymore, but he's parked over there. That's what I'm thankful. That's not the right way to give thanks. Okay? So there's a bad way to give thanks. Okay? These are ramifications for not praying to God. Maybe I should have said, Lord, please let this guy go. Okay, the ramifications for not praying to God and or not being thankful. Okay, when we are not thankful, we turn to something else. Okay, so we're talking about a bad part of thankfulness. The bad way of thankfulness is like ingest, something like that. But not giving thanks can lead to a lot of issues. When we are not thankful, we turn to something else. We become our own gods. Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 21 through 22. I know Benford has talked a lot about this. He uses this a lot in his Bible studies. Okay, in Romans 1. And I believe a lot of this goes back where he's talking about the individuals at the Tower of Babel, if I'm not mistaken. Okay? And you see how they declined. So in Romans 1, we know it. Paul is talking about just the descent of society. How one thing leads to another, 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 and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And you could lay this out to society today. And look, and just put the newspaper down beside the Bible and see if you can find much of a difference. So verse 21 through 22 says, for even though they knew God, so they knew who God was. He wasn't foreign. Okay? They did not honor him as God. Well, we know who he is. We're not going to honor him. We're not going to live for him. We're not going to trust him. We're not going to worship him. We're not going to believe in him. Or give thanks. So it says here, Paul is saying not honoring him as God and not giving thanks is basically one's as bad as the other. Okay? But they became futile in their reasonings, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools. So when you fail to recognize God or give God thanks, your hearts and your senses will become darkened. And even though how smart and how wise that you claim to be, you'll become foolish in the eyes of God. We see it in the world today. They're looking for answers everywhere but God. Okay? And God doesn't recognize that. And some of the smartest people maybe that we think in the world, God sees them as fools because they do not recognize God. And they'll find that out one day, unfortunately. Okay? So not honoring God leads us to be darkened and become foolish. The opposite of wise. Okay? Now, here's an example. Let me give you this and we'll be done. Okay, turn to Luke chapter 12. I'm going to read two more here and I'll be done. Luke chapter 12. I don't want to stop now because I've done set the hook. Luke chapter 12, 13 through 21. Ken, when I was a kid in church, boy, they loved to use this one. Man, anything I could do to scare you to death, they did it. And this is what I remember. But Jesus said it, and it needs to be used correctly. This was about the farmer. Okay, the rich farmer. So Luke 12, 13 through 21. Now someone in the crowd said to him, to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "You there who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over the two of you." Okay, but I should say that with a question. But he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. Do not, even when one is affluent, does his life consist of his possessions." So even if you're rich, your life's not about your possessions. And he told them a parable. So here's the parable. Here's what I want to get to. The land of a rich man was very productive, so he was a rich farmer. And he began thinking to himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?" And he said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and I will store all my grain and my goods there. And I will say to myself, you may have many goods stored up for many years to come. Relax, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself." Now, let me stop right there. What that guy did, I wouldn't look at from the things that he did do as being that bad. I don't think it's any different than what we do when we're trying to financial plan or plan for retirement. I think we all, as we get to, and look, we need to put back this much money, we can go on vacation. We need to put back this much money for Christmas. I need to save this much money every month or every year. Or I kind of look at this as, if I can save this much money, then I can retire at this age. Then I can relax. I've always wanted to travel. I want to enjoy my years after retirement. There's nothing wrong with that. He didn't do anything that the rest of us do not do in financially planning for ourselves and our families, okay? It's what he didn't do. It's not what he did. It's not what he didn't do. So in verse 20, God said to him, "You fool, this very night your soul is demanded of you, and as for all that you have prepared, who will own it now?" Okay? So what's he saying? You didn't give me a second thought. You weren't thankful. There's nowhere in here that he mentions God. Nowhere. Okay? And because he is not thankful, what did Paul say? Because they did not give thanks, okay, they became as fools. What does God say? Verse 20, "You fool." You fool. Why did he call him a fool? He didn't give thanks or believe in God. He didn't recognize God and he didn't give thanks. Okay? We are to give thanks. Yes, we're to plan. Absolutely. What that guy did, planning for himself, you're supposed to take care of yourself and your family. Plan. Absolutely. Try to save. Try to be responsible financially. Try to provide for your family. Absolutely. Look to the future. Okay? But include God. "Lord, I'm thankful for what you've gave me. This is yours. Lord, how do you want me to go about this? What should I do, Lord? Help me through these steps. I'm looking to you. I'm making this step with you. I am thankful for everything you've given me. I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful for what I have." That's part of praying. When we pray, Lord, we just shouldn't say, "Lord, help me." It ought to be, "Lord, I'm thankful for everything you've given me. But help me plan. Help me have wisdom. Give me wisdom. Help me make the right steps. Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm going to trust in you in this process." If that guy would have done that, he would have been he wouldn't have died. It wouldn't have been taken from him. And he says, "Such is the one who stores up treasure for himself." Now get this, "and is not rich in relation to God." You can have everything in the world and not be rich in relation to God. If God, you are rich in relation to God, verse 21, God will honor that. Okay? He wants us to be thankful and recognize him. Last verse. Turn to 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. I'm going to stop right there. I got to get this one in. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. I'm going to compare the rich man and this right here. Here's your comparison, then I'm done. Sorry to run over here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 through 10. Compare what God told the rich man, and that was, or what Jesus said, okay? This is what happens to one who is not rich in relation to God. Well, what if I am rich in relation to God? What happens? 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. If you are rich in relation with God, this is what happens. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Paul never one time mentioned how great he was. He said, in my weaknesses, I recognize that. And God's power, God's grace is sufficient for whatever I have in my life. Lord, help me make these decisions. I know you are sufficient. Your grace is sufficient to help me in whatever decision I have to make. Lord, I thank you for it. Therefore, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in distresses, in persecutions, in difficulties, in behalf of Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm strong through Christ's grace. I'm strong in Christ. I'm never strong in myself. I don't look at what I've done and say, look at my barns are full and say, look what I've done. It's what Christ has done. And even for not full, even for empty, I'm like, Lord, thank you. I know your grace is sufficient. You told me this is just another storm that God will get us through. And you put it in caps. And I told that to the church last week. I remember that. It was a living, breathing example to this. Okay? Thankfulness. Why thanksgiving is important. God's grace is sufficient for each and every one of us. Martha Joe, if you'll come and play.